In today's message, we're going to talk about after salvation and baptism, then what? That must mean you're not finished, right? Well, I'm going to teach you. After salvation and baptism, then what? How many have reached salvation? How many have received salvation? Okay, cool. How many have been baptized as a believer? Well, that's pretty awesome. And then what? I mean, it's over then, right? I mean, you made it. You've arrived. You've become all that you need to be. Is that true?
No.
After salvation and baptism, when you're on the team, now it's time to what, Clyde?
Now it's time to go to work.
And so, today, hopefully, I'm going to introduce this message to you, and then next week and the week after, we'll talk about what we need to do. So, after salvation and baptism, then what? Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verses 38-39.
Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call."
So the reason why we receive salvation in baptism is for what? The remission of your sins. Forgiveness of your sins. Does anybody think that's a big deal?
Yeah.
That's a big deal, right? How many of us are sometimes weighted down by our past? How many are weighted down by your past? Just weighted down by your past. And how many, you know, you get up and you know, man, I need to get going, but I'm just weighted down from my past. How many are weighted down by your past? I mean, past choices, past decisions, past consequences. How many are weighted down by your past? Well, we have a couple. How many let that stuff go a long time ago? Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid what? My burdens down. You see, what happens, brothers and sisters, is that we receive forgiveness for our sin. And the Lord God takes the forgiveness of our sins and He throws it into the lake of what?
Forgiveness.
How many got a really good memory?
Forgiveness.
Anybody got a really good memory? Even though you know you're forgiven for your past, it keeps on coming up. Doesn't it keep on coming up? And what we got to learn to do, brothers and sisters, is that once we have been forgiven of our past, once we have let that stuff go, thrown into the lake of forgiveness, we receive remission of our sins, remission of the sins, and we receive an unbelievable gift. We receive a gift what?
Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me, church. I know that there are some of us that Satan sits on your shoulder, reminds you of your past. How many got that guy reminds you of your past all the time? Well, you remember what you did. You remember what you said. You know what you did all those years ago. And Satan keeps reminding you of your past. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit that reminds you of your future. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes in and cleanses you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Everybody in this room has a past. How many's got a past? Everybody's got a past. Sometimes my grandkids say to me, especially Riley, my granddaughter Riley, I'm old, I'm getting old, huh, Riley? I'm getting old. And some, you know, sometimes they say to me, you can't do the things you used to do. You can't do the things you used to do. How many thanking God you ain't doing the things you used to do? Turn to somebody and say, I thank God I'm not doing what I used to do. How many have to get up early in the morning and do the things you used to do? And so we have been forgiven of our sins and we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 4-7.
But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
Wow, awesome. We have experienced, has anyone here ever experienced true forgiveness? Anybody experienced true forgiveness? When you have experienced true forgiveness, Isn't that the weight of the world off of your shoulders?
Yeah.
How many of you have ever done at least one thing wrong in your life? See, I said one because I wasn't sure. I was going to say two, but I didn't know. So how many have done at least one thing wrong? And how many have asked forgiveness of a human being for the one thing wrong? And how many have received forgiveness for at least one thing wrong? How many know your whole attitude changes, doesn't it? How many know that when you carry that with you for a day or two or three or a week or a month, that burden that you carry, the minute you humble yourself, how many know it takes some humility to ask for forgiveness, right? Once you humble yourself and you go and you ask forgiveness and that person says, hey, I forgive you, don't worry about it. How many know the weight of the world is lifted off your shoulder? Well, imagine all of that stuff. All of that stuff for years and years and years and years have piled down upon you. And you ask the Lord God for your forgiveness and Jesus Christ's blood washed you clean. The weight of the world is off of your shoulder. How many praise God for that? And how many know that when the weight of the world lifts off your shoulder and you experience genuine forgiveness, you have a new life. How many are grateful for a new life? How many are grateful for a new beginning? How many are grateful for a reset button? Push it and it's all new. Praise God for that, right? How many need to push the button every day when you get up? What? Juanita, really? You mean to tell me nobody's perfect in here yet?
No.
What? And no? You mean to tell me we keep on messing up? How many messing up a little less? How many thanking God you know the truth that sets you free, right? And once you experience that regeneration, that forgiveness of your sins, you're able to finally stand under the weight of it all. I remember a story where a man was complaining about the burdens that he had to carry. And some of his burdens was past sin and past choices and past consequences. And he had to pick that cross up. Scripture says what? If you want to come and follow me, what must you do? Pick that cross up, right? Pick that cross up. And he was really complaining about the weight of the cross. And he was just really relenting. Oh, why did I become a Christian? I'm not going to carry the stuff with me everywhere I go. And much to his surprise, he happened walking down the street. And there was a storefront. And the storefront said, trade your crosses in here today. Wow, he thought, what a blessing this is going to be. I get to take my cross and I get to trade it in. Whoa, praise God. I'm going to pick me a much lighter one than the one I got to tote around. And so he went in the store, Clyde, and storekeeper said, you want to trade your cross? And he said, oh yeah, I want to trade my cross in for what's lighter than this one. The man said, okay, hey, we got a lot of crosses here. You go ahead and pick one out. Just leave that one, lean up against the wall. I'll take care of it. And so he took his cross and leaned it up against the old wall. Then he started going down one side of the room, picking out another cross. He went to one section and said, martyrs. He said, well, I'll try some of their crosses. So he went on over and picked up a martyr cross, right? He got off the one. Oh, he couldn't even stand up under the weight of it. It was like, oh, help, help. Put it back. I can't get that one off the ground. So he went over to another section of the store, said, saints. He said, I'll try one of them. He picked up the smallest cross that said saint. He picked up. He said, come under the weight. Cried out and prayed, I can't even get this one off me. Help me out. And he went down one wall, down the other, trying different crosses all the way down. He couldn't find one that was lighter. So he finally went into the back room and he tried every single cross. He couldn't find one. And there was one plopped up in the corner. He said, well, let me try that one. He picked that one. I said, oh, at least I can stand under this one. At least this is the one I'm going to take because I can at least stand. So he dragged that cross over to the storekeeper and said, this is the one I'm going to take. And the storekeeper said, wait a second. That's the one you want? Oh, you sure that's the one you want? He said, oh, yeah. Automobile, I can't even lift the. I'm going to take that one. That's the one that I want. The storekeeper said, oh, you sure that's the one that you want? That's the one you want. And the guy said, yeah, that's the one I want. The storekeeper said, well, that's the one you brought in here. That's the one you what? You brought in here. And just when he's ready to leave, he looked out of the corner of his eye. He's seen this frail, older gentleman, a couple years younger than Glenn. He was walking on down. Kind of old and kind of frail looking, you know. And he was carrying this cross and he was standing erect, a little frail guy with arthritis all through him. His hands were crippled up. And the man said, whoa, whoa, let's not be hasty. He said, if that guy comes in here, I want that one. That's the one I want. If he comes in, oh, praise God, let him come in here and trade that one. That's the one I want. And the storekeeper said, oh, you don't want that one. Believe me, you don't want that. What are you talking about? Look at that little old, you know, thin, small guy. Look how he's carrying that cross. That's the one I want. And the man said, I'm telling you, man, you don't want that one. That's the heaviest cross in the whole store. You don't want that guy's cross. What are you talking about? Look at that little old guy carrying that cross. Oh, man, it's not because it's lighter. It's because he's stronger than you. Oh, yeah. See, it's not that his cross is lighter. He's what? He's stronger than you. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you judge everybody else's walk. You judge everybody else's walk and you say, well, look, they ain't got a problem in the world. Look, smiling all the time, praising God all the time, singing praises unto the Lord all the time, busy for the Lord all the time. And you say, man, that woman or that man ain't got a problem in the world. Look, I want some of their cross. Oh, no, you don't. That doesn't mean they're lighter. It means that they are what? Stronger than you. And how do we get that strength? From the Lord. How many's ever heard of the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back? How many's ever had that experience, the straw that broke the camel's back? Anybody experienced, God, you ever experienced that? The straw that broke the camel's back. And I want to let you know, I counsel a lot of people, and you know what they're always focusing on, church? They're always focusing on the straw that broke the camel's back. Well, let me help you out. Straws don't break camel's back. It's all the other stuff that broke the camel's back. The straw was the last straw. And the truth of the matter is, people want to concentrate on the what? The straw. The look, the word, the comment. Oh, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I just unleashed on this person. No, no. It wasn't the straw. It was what? All the stuff. You see, everybody's life is kind of like a rowboat going down a river, barely skimming the surface of the water. It's floating. Just barely. How many have a rowboat of life that's barely floating, but it's floating? All that stuff, all the past and all the misery and all the trials and all the tribulations and all the storms, and you happen to go under a bridge and somebody takes one little straw and goes, what happens to the boat?
Down it goes.
And so what you're going to tell me is you're going to avoid all the bridges so somebody can't do this. Oh, no, church. You don't worry about the straws because somebody's going to drop a straw on your parade. How many know that is the way that it works? They got a pocket full of straws and they cannot wait till you come under the bridge. It's not the straws. What must you do with the boat? Empty it out. Don't worry about the straw. Get rid of the stuff. And how are you going to get rid of the stuff? Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Being washed in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And taking all that stuff and doing what with it? Drop the straws because my boat is empty. It's the truth. And for those of us that truly, truly, truly have experienced salvation. For those of us that have truly experienced it, the washing and the regeneration of God's love, thank you, Lord, that my boat is empty. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
And the reason why, church, you can't receive the blessings coming down from heaven is because your arms are full of all the goofiness. Why? You can't receive another blessing because your hands are full. Because every time you leave the house, you got to bring it with you. I got my Bible. I got my offering. Oh, no, I got to go get my stuff. All that past, I got to put it in the trunk. Make sure I take it with me because I'm not complete without it. How many know if people didn't have misery, you wouldn't have no friends? Some people love to talk about their grandkids. We got some right there. There's Jacob and Jonah and Miss Riley. Some people love to talk about their grandkids. Some people like to talk about the kids. Some people like to talk about the job. Some people like to talk about the spouse. Some people love to talk about their misery. Love to talk about the misery. Nobody knows. Who said that? Who sang that?
Jesse.
Jesse? My son? He knows people in misery. That's his problem. Let's turn the Bibles, please, to Mark 16:16.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Oh, praise the Lord. Whoever believes and is baptized will be
saved.
How many of you were baptized as a believer? How many have been baptized as a believer? Okay, how many baptized as a child? As a child. Okay, cool. All right. I want you to know, right behind this wall right here is a baptismal font. There it is right in there. Is it important to be baptized to be saved? No. But why then is baptism an important part? Baptism is an important part of the walk because it's a profession of faith. It is an outward sign of an inner grace. That when you become baptized as an adult, you're telling the world, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what people talk about me. I just don't care. I care that the Lord knows me and I know Him. And I want the world to know it. How many say amen to that? And when you take that final step of affirmation, you go, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? The world behind me. The cross before me. And what do you do? I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I belong to the Lord and He belongs to me. That's like the exclamation point. Exclamation point. We shall be saved. Saved from what? Now that's an interesting question. That's a little theological high question. Saved from what? Now I heard somebody say sin. True. That's true. How many have been saved from your sin debt? True. That's true. But what else can you be saved from? I mean, is it possible that you can be saved for eternal life, but also be saved in this life? Is that possible? Can you be saved from your old way of thinking?
Yes.
Can you be saved from your old way of acting?
Yes.
Can you be saved into a new way of living? Yes, you can be. And if you have not yet made that transformation, change not only for there, but for here, we got work to do. Everybody in this room who have been saved by the blood of Jesus ought to see life differently. You not ought get up in the morning and say to yourself, oh, it's probably going to rain today. I just got my hair done. I spent a lot of money on that thing. I had a coupon at the Walmart. Like me and Sissy. I spent a whole $10 on that. And I got it all nice and combed today. Look at Colin, you can see. We got that hair problem the other day, didn't we? I need to tell you, my good friend, Pastor Colin, comes down and said, can you get it? Can you get it? So to speak, and Robin says, what? Get the hair! Get the hair! She went. I started saying, Colin, looking like alfalfa. You got that hair sticking up. But we come into the church and we say, it's going to rain today. It's going to be cold out today. I don't want to fight all that traffic today. What? That's the old way. The new way is, praise the Lord, I have the opportunity to go to church, plug in the battery, and get recharged. How many say amen to that? Amen. Listen to me. Everybody's got problems. How many's got problems? Everybody's got problems. That don't make you unique. Everybody's got problems. The difference is, problems get some of you instead of you getting some of them. It's the truth. It's absolutely truth. And so we can be saved into a new way of thinking. We can be saved into a new way of acting. We can be saved into a new way of loving. We can be saved into a new way of getting along with others. How many say, praise the Lord for that? How many are different today?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. How many are finally getting it? Is anybody getting it that the world don't evolve around you yet? If you didn't, well, talk to me later. I'll help straighten you out. Lynn, you getting it, Lynn?
I got it.
I got it. How many understand? We are not coming to be served. We have come to serve. How many understand the Lord does not bless to you? The Lord blesses through you. How many say that's amen? How many understand the only way to get some more blessings is to give some blessings away? How many know that's the truth? That's the truth. And the only way you're going to get it is by washing away. Not only past sin, but past way of thinking. Past way of acting. Past way of speaking. Past way of watching. Past way of living. Past way of hearing. How many know that's the truth? And so when you receive all of that, when you receive all of that, you're finally done, right? No, no, you're not. You just got on the team now. Let's go to Acts 22:16.
And now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on His name.
Wow, awesome. So what are you waiting for? You know, the fascinating thing about the way we people are, we get a job promotion, we cannot wait to call people on the phone and tell them, man, I got this job promotion. I made it. I got the key to the restroom. By the way, anybody's got a key, we need another one, because that was full. I thought about it. I got a key to the, I got a parking space with my name on it. I got me a raise. That's the way people are. You can't wait to tell them your good fortune. Well, you know what? For Christians, you shouldn't wait to be able to tell them that you're born again. You shouldn't hide it. You should tell it. Amen. You should not be waiting in the corner and say, oh, I hope they don't think I'm one of them Bible thumpers. You know, tell somebody, say, you know what? I'm a card-carrying, scripture-bought, sanctified, born again, Bible quote, scripture quote, Jesus freak. How many is that person in this room? Who's a Jesus freak in this room? See, that you should tell the world that. And you know what? If you have to tell somebody you're born again, you're not. If you have to tell somebody you're a Christian, guess what also? You're not. They should see the difference in you. Somebody should say, what happened to you? How many's ever had that experience? Somebody say, what? That. How many's ever had somebody say to you, I remember when? Anybody have one of those experiences? Woo! I remember when. As soon as somebody says that to you, you say, praise the Lord. And they know what happened to me, it's a who. How many had a who happen to you? Praise God, right? Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7.
In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Wow, how many are rich in this room? I am rich. I'm so rich. I am so rich. The fact is, when people say to you, how are you doing? What most people will say, well, fine, thank you. And you. That's what we say, right? How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? That's kind of like what we say, right? But that's not how you should have a life. When somebody says to you, how are you doing? What should you say? I'm blessed by the best and highly favored. As soon as you say that, two things are going to happen. They're going to walk away from you, think some really goofy things. Or they're going to say to you, me too, brother. You're going to find out who your brothers and sisters are. How many know you'll do that? If you say to somebody, I'm blessed by the best and highly favored, they're going to say, well, me too, praise the Lord. You must be my brother. Yeah, I'm your brother. How many got more brothers and sisters now you ever had when you were born? How many closer to your brothers and sisters now than when you were born? Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord for that. So what do? You have forgiveness, you have regeneration, you have redemption, you have God's grace. Then what? You're done? You're done? You're not done. What we need to talk about is, okay, you have all those wonderful blessings, you have those things. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. You have those things, so now what? So now what?
But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
Oh, brothers and sisters, let's talk about heirs. Let's talk about heirs. Does anybody know what the word heirs mean? Yes. I've inherited some stuff. How many's inherited some stuff? I got some stuff. I have inherited some real important stuff. Well, let me tell you some things that I have inherited. Maybe none of you have. I think some of you might have some of my inheritance, but maybe some of you haven't. Let me tell you one thing I have inherited. I have inherited the peace of God. How many have the peace of God? Now, let me explain this to you. I have inherited the peace of God that surpasses all of understanding. I've inherited that. How many has that too? I mean, I got that. I own that. God gave it to me. The peace of God that what? Surpasses all of life's understanding. That works kind of like this. Why are you not upset? You should be upset. Well, why do you think I should be upset? Because I would be upset. Oh, well, that's your understanding. You see, I have the peace of God that surpasses what? Your understanding. You know what else I have inherited? I've inherited the strength of the Lord. How many's inherited the strength of the Lord? I have inherited in my person the strength of the Lord, which causes me and makes me be able to do what? All things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. I have inherited the joy of the Lord. Who has the joy of the Lord in this room? I have inherited the joy of the Lord. And why is that important? Why is the joy of the Lord important? For the joy of the Lord is my strength. And how many know Satan wants to make you weak? What's he got to rob you from? Your joy. He can't rob your salvation, church. He's just going to rob your joy. He robs your joy and makes you what? Weak. He makes you weak. And you know what, church? Satan loves weak Christians. Satan has a field day with weak Christians. You know, think Satan looks at you and watches you? How many know he watches you? He says, I see you coming in them red doors down there carrying your Bible. You think that makes you strong? I don't think. Because you sure ain't carrying your trials too well. You carry your Bible all day long. That's fine. I've seen you do that before. I've seen you carry your Bible around to church. And I see where you put it when church is over too, right up on the shelf, and don't get it back out again until next Sunday. I watch you. Satan is not concerned with you carrying your Bible. Satan is concerned the Bible carries you. You see, Satan is not concerned. Satan is not concerned, not really, that you get into the Bible. You know what Satan's concerned about? That the Bible gets into you. How many know that's the truth? That's the truth. Right, Clyde?
Amen.
He's seen all that before. And we have inherited the Word of God. And we have inherited salvation. And we have inherited a new life. Who's got those things in this room?
Yeah, thank you.
Praise the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. If you have those things, you know what you got to do now? Now you got to live it. Now you got to do it. Sissy and I was counseling a couple. We've been in the process of counseling two couples, really. Right, Sissy? Two couples. We give them skills. We give them passages of Scripture. We pray for them. You know, all that stuff not going to do any good unless they what? They do it. How many know in order to have a life that's fulfilling, you got to do something too? I mean, you got to go to work, right? How many understand the Lord's just, you know what? The Lord God, how many of you in this room the Lord God gave a new day to? How many woke up this morning? How many are sleeping right now? My new guy, you ain't sleeping, are you? Okay. The truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, the Lord God gave you this day. That's it. Now it's up to you how you're going to have it. How many understand that? How many woke up this morning because the alarm clock's going off? Going, anybody go wake up this morning for an alarm clock? Good thing, because alarm clock don't wake people up. God wakes you up. God says, get up. That clock's going off. I'm going to give you another day. Now, I'm going to give you a day. And guess what? It's your choice how to live it. It's your choice. Half the day is over. It's 12 o'clock, right? Half the day is already over. And guess what? You cannot get back. Can't get those first 12 hours back. They're gone. And whatever you did, whatever you said, whatever you thought, whatever you felt, guess what? It's gone. How many ever wasted a day? Anybody ever waste a day? And what's so? How can you waste it? Worrying, stressed out, anxious about everything, concerned about all the worldly concerns in the world. Hey, guess what? Has anybody ever figured out nobody really cares if you waste your day? Well, I mean, you people don't care, you know that. I kind of care. That's what I thought. We you know, the truth of the matter is, the only one that ought to care is who? You. And so when you receive these blessings, you have to do something about it. Sissy and I talked the other day, this couple. You know what? Changes will not happen unless you do something about it. If you do what you always have done, you will be exactly where you have always been. Somebody say amen to that. If you have the same life you did 10 years ago, you will be in the same place 10 years from now. How many know that? It's absolutely true. If you did the same thing yesterday, you'll be in the same place today. How many know? It's absolutely true. You can want to all you want, but you got to start to do some stuff too. It's the truth. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 11.
Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, did you see that powerful two-letter word up there? It's a very powerful two-letter word. Very powerful two-letter word. What's the two-letter word?
Do.
For if you what?
Do.
How many know that's an action? How many know that takes personal responsibility? How many know that's your part? Help me understand. That's nobody's part next to you. Your wife can't do it. Your husband can't do it. Your kids can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. No elder in the church can do it. No deacon can do it. You must what? Do it. Why am I not different? I've heard these things. Why am I not different? Because you forgot the two-letter word, which is what? Do. But I've heard it, and you preached, and you prayed, and you read. But why am I not different? Because you must what? Do. You have a part to play in it. You have to do these things. I think almost everybody wants to come into church and me pour a message on your head and all of a sudden, boom, I'm so much different. That's not how it works. I've tried, Scott. I mean, Scott, I'm trying, brother. How many know some people are called job security for me? I'm serious. You take God's word and you pour it out and you pour it out and you pour it out. But unless the person finally does what? Do you have to what, Shauna? Do it. It's like counseling. Sooner or later, a person can't just sit down and have me espouse my knowledge on you. Sooner or later, you have to do what? You have to do it. You have to be willing to do it. If you do these things, you will never stumble. But what if you don't do these things?
You're going to stumble.
You will stumble. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome. Aren't we the easy people today, 2015? Don't we want everything done for us? I'm serious. Isn't this kind of like the age of entitlement? Truly. In this culture, in 2015, here's how we kind of think. Well, what are you going to do for
me?
What are you going to do, right, for me? No. What are you going to do for yourself? How many say amen to that?
Amen.
So we're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16.
Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Now, I mean, that's something. If you watch your doctrine closely, and you do not just become hearers of the word, but you become what? Doers of the word. Not only will you save yourself, but you also might save what?
Hearers.
Well, who might they be? Who might the hearers be? Might they not be your spouse? May they not be your kids? May they not be your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your co-workers? May that not be the person that lives across the street from you? How about the person next door to you? Could they not be the hearers? And if you watch your doctrine carefully, what might you be able to do? Is that important, do you think? Mm-hmm. Watch your doctrine closely. Does that mean just watch it? You know, if you say one thing and do another thing, how many know there's a very high theological term for that? It's got a hippa in the front and a crit at the end. It's Latin for hypocrite. How many know if you do one thing and say something else? Not cool. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.
Do not be afraid about what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life.
You know what, church? It's pretty easy to be faithful when food's in the fridge, ain't it? Isn't it? Isn't it easy to be faithful when gas is in the car, and the house mortgage is paid, and utilities aren't being shut off? And you're well, and everybody that you love is well. Isn't it easy to be faithful then? Isn't it? Herman, isn't it easy then to be faithful? Praise you, Lord. I can just see how many blessings you've poured on me. Everybody is well. My house is paid. My car is good. Oh, praise you, Lord. I mean, you're just so faithful to me. But what about when the storms come? What about then? What about happens when you get the phone call that you don't want? Seriously. Well, what happens when you open up the envelope and there's some bad news in it that you wasn't expecting? What happens then? What happens when you get a diagnosis that you'd rather not have? What happens when a loved one winds up in the hospital that you're not prepared for? What happens then? See, what happens when the wind is howling and the waves are crashing? What happens then? What happens then to your faith? Do you cry out to the Lord and say, I thought you loved me, Lord? Is that what you do? Remember the disciples in the storm. When they cried out in fear, what did the Lord Jesus say to them? O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. If ye have faith the size of a
mustard seed.
How many know that passage of scripture? I don't think you do. Let's check it out. I'm going to test you out here. Oh, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. What's the next word?
You.
You. Who?
You.
You. You can say to that mountain,
get out of
my way. Be gone. But who has to say it?
You.
How many know the scriptures are full of personal opportunity for you to do something about your own life? Isn't it? How many is going to be different the rest of the afternoon than you were this morning? Praise God. How many are going to be different the rest of this week than you were last week? Praise God, right? How many know you have a new opportunity today? Woo! Turn to somebody and say, I got a new opportunity. I'm taking it. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. Praise the Lord, right? Alright, so next week I'm going to be talking about some things we need to remember. Some things we need to remember and not forget. It's going to be stuff we're going to have to do. So next week we're going to talk about things we got to remember. Always remember, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the hearing of these words. Lord, may we not just be the hearers this morning, but the doers. Help us to know, Lord, there's a whole world full of people who heard and turned away. Help us to remember, always remember, Lord, that there are those who happen to hear and they fall away. There are those who have heard your word and have not accepted the truth, and they will be thrown away. But Lord, help us to remember that we need to hear the word and do it. For in the doing it is where we will sense the true spirit of an awesome God. It's in the doing of it. Lord, when we are wrong, rebuke us. But where we are right, then uphold us. In your awesome name we pray these things. And all of God's children said,